This is the podcast that puts you at the pointy end of the airplane with two veteran airline captains. We'll offer insight into the pilot brain, we'll have some fun, and promise not to get too techie. Each weekly episode has a segment that provides inside information on what's really going on behind the cockpit door, and we'll discuss some industry current topics that might affect your travels. Your two pilots and co-hosts are Les Abend and Mike Strauss. Les has over four decades and over 25,000 hours of experience flying airplanes. The Boeing 727, 757, 767, and the 777 were all part of Les's repertoire before he retired. He was also a Czech airman. Additionally, Les still has the good fortune to be a 21-year contributing editor for Flying Magazine. He's been an on-air analyst and op-ed contributor for CNN, in addition to MSNBC and NBC, among others. And finally, Les is the author of Paper Wings, a mystery suspense whodunit thriller. Mike is a current A320 captain and Czech airman for a major airline with over 17,000 hours of flight time. In addition to his airline experience, Mike has a diverse general aviation background as an airplane salesman and a corporate pilot flying celebrities and VIPs. If you haven't done so already, please listen to the Welcome Aboard introductory episode. Don't get on an airplane until you've listened to Candid Cockpit.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of Candid Cockpit. My name is Les Abend.
And I'm Mike Strauss.
On this episode's takeoff segment, we're going to discuss a gentleman by the name of Mark Muffley, 40-year-old man arrested for attempting to bring an explosive in checked baggage on an airplane at the Lehigh Valley Airport, which is in Allentown, Pennsylvania. Are there more like him? And is this starting to be a trend?
Well, yeah. There's...
Don't say yeah.
There's some people out there. I'm saying yeah to your conversation. Yeah, there's people out there that just kind of don't grasp all the rules.
Yeah.
That's a big one. For the cruise segment, we're going to talk about the mysteries, and I love that word of this. The mysteries of being a reserve pilot, pilot on call, if you will. We get to pick up the pieces when the operation falls apart, so to speak.
Right. And then finally, for the landing segment, we're going to talk about who are those crew members that are sitting in the back of the airplane? What are they doing?
Well, you know, airline industry is about seniority, and you got to start someplace.
You got to start
your way to the front of the airplane.
Very good. Very good. And hey, everybody, like we do every episode, we would appreciate if you would send us an email if you've got a topic.
Or a question.
About something you'd like to see on this podcast. Send that email to podcast@candidcockpit.com. And please, the other part of it is let your family know, let your friends know, let your dog know, let your cat know. Come watch us. Listen to us. Watch us. You would have to do that on YouTube, which we're on.
I think we're probably funnier to watch than listen.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. At least that's what our wives say sometimes. So, and then in addition, follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
Right.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to our takeoff segment. We're going to discuss this gentleman, Mark Muffley, that ended up having to, well, not having to. He put explosives that TSA found, fortunately, in his checked baggage in Allentown, Pennsylvania, at the Lehigh Valley Airport. Within this checked baggage, they found explosive powder. They found a can of butane fluid. Basically lighter fluid.
Yeah.
They also found a pipe with suspected traces of methamphetamine.
It kind of says it all right there, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think that, yeah, it pretty much does. And then two cordless drill batteries, which is amazing. And then two GFCI outlets taped together with black tape. Now, I'm laughing about this.
But it's serious stuff.
It's serious stuff. And I'm laughing a little bit more because the attorney claims that the materials were going to be used on the beach because he was going on Allegiant Airlines from Allentown to Sanford in Orlando.
Right.
And he was going to go on the beach and set these fireworks off. Well, they would must have been a hell of a fireworks because the FAA, not the FAA, but the FBI considered what he could have assembled an IED.
Yeah. An improvised explosive device.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the TSA and the FBI deserve a lot of credit because they arrested this guy. He did depart the airport quickly.
Yeah.
They really do deserve a lot of credit.
Right.
And go ahead.
No, they do. I mean, they do. They TSA caught it. And this was checked bags, and checked bags don't quite get checked as thoroughly, perhaps, or as often as a carry-on.
Well, they still get
they
that
still
screening
through
process.
The screening process.
Yeah, not the same we do as passengers.
Right,
but, yeah.
But yeah, it's they did a great job by catching these devices.
And the reason I bring it up, even though it's such a bizarre case, and I think we're going to find that, you know, some people just are not on the same level comprehension-wise on what this can possibly bring down on them.
Right.
I think this guy's going to have some serious problems. He may have some mental challenges as well.
Right.
When they show his history. But I bring it up because, you know, these people are still out there.
Yeah.
And we have to be vigilant, not only as the ones that are responsible for that, like the TSA and FBI, but we have to be vigilant as flight crew members and as passengers.
Yeah. Well, and then they talks about going back to 9/11, that event of 9/11 brought passengers more into the fray of watching out for other passengers.
Right.
You know,
right.
Just our last episode, we discussed the gentleman, or you briefly touched on an incident on a United aircraft. I'm sure we'll talk about that at a later date, where the passengers got involved and subdued a passenger that was trying to open a door in flight.
Yeah.
We know he could never have done that,
yeah,
but
because of the pressure.
It shows the willingness of the passengers to get involved to keep the integrity, the safety of the aircraft and the people on board.
We bring that up because it's important to be situational aware when you're on the airplane, because there's still some, I'm sorry to say, kooks out there.
Oh yeah,
you know, it's important to get involved. The shoe bomber, that situation on my airline,
yeah.
If it wasn't for the passengers being alert and wondering what this guy was doing, lighting something up mid-flight, and then eventually subduing this guy,
right.
Something different and catastrophic may have occurred.
Would have happened, yeah, exactly.
If it wasn't for the fact that passengers participated in subduing him. So the other thing is that we want to bring to people's attention, and you have an anecdotal story that we discussed before we went on air, but is that the primary thing that TSA is finding is that people are bringing loaded handguns in carry-on bags. And the 2022, I looked it up, almost 6,500 loaded handguns throughout the United States.
That's almost 200 a day.
Yeah. Yeah. Think about that.
I mean, that's a lot
stop it.
Flying 101. Have you not seen the news in the last 25 years?
So don't do it. But just for, and this is an honest mistake. So bring
it
up.
It is
story.
A friend of mine who travels regularly. This particular trip, he happened to grab a different bag than his normal bag. And that's a bag that he would kind of use to go on road trips and such. And he grabbed it and his gun was in it. He didn't realize it. And
right.
He honestly got through TSA. They saw the gun and went, you want to talk about this? And he goes, you know, and he didn't get arrested. He got questioned. He missed his flight. And he got some, little slap on the wrist. And there were some,
rightfully so.
Oh, absolutely. And he admits it. He goes, hey, I own anything you want to throw at me. I get it. My bad, my responsibility.
Yeah.
So what that says is no matter how innocent it is, you have to be very careful in what you carry on an aircraft, whether you intend to or not. You know, check your bags, make sure someone hasn't put something in your bag that shouldn't be in your bag. You know, so it's precautions, and it's just, I hate to say it, it's common sense 101 when traveling via aircraft these days.
It is. It now is. And even I was responsible for bringing, I think I had a small some form of pen knife, or the ones that have the multiple devices in it.
Leatherman device.
Exactly. And I got queried. I was in uniform, but the TSA basically said, don't bring this.
Yeah.
And they were fairly pleasant about it. This was back way back when. But in any case, let's don't bring your handgun.
Yeah,
please.
No.
Leave it all.
And explosive devices. Those aren't real good. If you want fireworks, go to Florida, buy fireworks. It's a state where you can.
Right.
Buy fireworks and go out to the beach and shoot fireworks.
I don't know what this gentleman's intentions were, but it seemed a little nefarious maybe when he got to Sanford. But at the end of the day, by the way, just to explain to people that aren't aware, the reason you are allowed handguns and checked baggage,
correct.
You have to follow local guidelines
and TSA guidelines.
Exactly. And the objective is, it's okay in checked baggage because you as a passenger
can't access it. Right.
And create a danger in flight.
Yeah. You know, I find one thing funny about this guy, Mark Muffley. As soon as the TSA announced, hey, Mark Muffley, please report to, that's when he bolted the airplane. So he knew right then and there what he had done was wrong.
Right.
I would think he probably would have known it was wrong before, or maybe he just thought, well, it's checked, so it's okay.
Yeah.
Again, do some homework. If you want to take things like that, do some homework. Look on the TSA website. They will tell you what you can and cannot carry. Very easy to find. And don't get yourself in trouble. This is going to be a life-changing event for him.
Yes, it is.
I think Allegiance has already said he will never fly with us again. Right. So
common sense.
Yeah. Another topic sometime?
Very good.
Anyway.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the cruise segment of our episode. In this particular cruise episode, we're going to discuss what do you need reserve pilots for? What function do they perform? Well, honestly, it's pretty obvious for most people. Their reserve pilots are there to cover pilots that call in sick.
Yeah.
Right?
Number one reason.
The other reason is there are schedule interruptions. So sometimes you've got to get another crew that gets stuck in a place that they didn't anticipate, either because of a mechanical, weather, all sorts of other interruptions. That's why there are reserve pilots.
Yeah.
It's basically keeping the schedule integrity of the airline.
Right.
They're very important. They're basically, a friend of mine put it very well, they're the insurance for the airline.
Yeah, that is a great way to put it, too. It's, you know, and there's a fairly high percentage, you know, probably 10% of any given day, the amount of pilots that are on duty, you have about 10% in excess of reserve pilots. And, you know, they get used more often than you think. And usually you don't know that they're being used because of, let's say, sick callouts are usually quicker than or a little bit farther ahead than 10 minutes before the pilot's supposed to show up. So you get these guys out here, you know, in plenty of time. There's also times where you will see them. You have a crew that has a legality issue. And, you know, we hear sometimes about that.
Which means that they're going over their flight time or their duty time day.
Correct.
They're going over that, yeah.
So they've got to be replaced. And sometimes that can take a little bit of time to get the reserve pilot there.
And they're not, and let's tell folks that, and you can expand on this a little bit if you want, that these are pilots that either bid that during their schedule. They want to be on standby and reserve and with the chance that maybe they won't get called. Or more specifically, most reserve pilots are junior.
They are.
And they fall toward the bottom of the seniority list for any particular base or airplane if you have various
and/or seat.
So, you know, you have captains on reserve, you have co-pilots on reserve, you have captains and co-pilots on reserve for the Embraer 190 or the A320 or the 777
right.
or the 737.
Every airplane needs its own set of reserve.
Right.
Every airplane, every seat needs its own set of reserves.
So go into a little bit of details. Don't kill people with this, but
about so much fun. Yeah. So reserve, as you said, it's typically, you know, when you first get it new in a seat or new in an airplane, you bid reserve because you don't really have control over your schedule other than your reserve schedule, which is going to be a set amount of days, and then in that particular day, you'll have a time frame. It's called a reserve assignment period, and it could be, it's usually about 10 hours. So from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., you're on call, and if they need you, you've got, well, our company has 2.5, well, there's two types. There's short call reserve, long call reserve. Short call reserve is you have 2.5 hours to get to the gate, and long call reserve is you have 14 hours. So that's a lot of pre-planning when they know something's going to be, or there's a trip in open time, or someone's called out sick the day before their flight.
And these the reserve schedules, you don't know where you're going, you don't know your trips necessarily,
right.
But you know, as a reserve pilot, your days off and your days on.
That correct. You're supposed to be just like reserve. A line pilot. So you've got this group of days, let's say 6 days on reserve. You know you're going to be on reserve those days. You
right.
may or may not fly.
Right.
I bid reserve as a senior pilot in Orlando when I was on my previous airplane at my current company. And I got accused of not having a very good work ethic, and I think it was a very good work ethic. I worked hard at not working. You know, so we would bid our schedules. I that's the beauty of this industry. The flexibility of this schedule you can have to give you a good quality of life, it's like no other industry. And, so I would do that. I would bid reserve in hopes that I wouldn't get called to fly. And there were years where I flew very, very little.
But the point is, you were the insurance for the airline.
Right.
Okay, you kind of bet. You know, everybody would likes to get paid for not working, and sometimes that happens. But at the end of the day, you were there and available if there was a schedule interruption.
Exactly. And you know, and the insurance is a great analogy, because you always, almost in everything in life, you either have or want insurance, but you'd never want to use it.
Right.
So ideally, if they haven't had to use reserve pilots, the airline hasn't had to use reserve pilots, the insurance has done exactly what it's supposed to.
Right.
You know?
Listen, we get, you know, there are people, you drive to work, you get in a car accident, you have a flat tire, you get into a traffic situation that just isn't moving.
Right.
You know, you've got to call out a reserve pilot, and it's happened. And I'm sure passengers that are listening to this podcast have had that experience. You know, a crew is late. Or a particular crew member is late, and it happens.
And we're waiting for a reserve pilot.
Yeah.
So now you know what a reserve pilot is. It's the airline's, it's crew scheduling's insurance policy.
Very good.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, folks, once again, we want to, we'd like to ask you, we do kind of want you to.
Yeah.
We want to ask you to invite your friends to listen to our Candid Cockpit podcast. If you've got a topic you'd like us to discuss, send us an email at podcast@candidcockpit.com. You can watch us, we'll mention your name on air, then watch us on YouTube. Get some more ideas. Maybe an idea, maybe a topic that we're discussing leads to a question you have. Send us an email.
The fun thing about YouTube is that, you know, that some of the things that we're talking about, you can get a more visual display, obviously a visual display, but, you know, it gives a little more frame of reference if you have time to sit down and watch.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you get to see these faces.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of faces, you can see us on Facebook. FaceTime us if you like. Instagram and Twitter.
Yes.
And tell your friends to take a peek. And I know you like this one. Talk to the flight attendants, to talk to the pilots, to see if you can come in and ask them a question.
Yeah. Those flight attendants or flight attendant that's at the front door, just say, hey, do you mind if I just ask them a question about something? And if they're not terribly busy, I'm sure they'll be glad to talk to you.
Yeah.
And tell them you listen to Candid Cockpit.
Right. We appreciate it.
What the heck is that?
And you can tell them.
Yes. All right, everybody, welcome to our final segment, the landing segment. We want to talk about what are those pilots, even flight attendants, doing in the back of the airplane rather than working? Why are those people there?
In
uniform.
Yeah.
In uniform. Very, very, very important. And most of the time, they are on a deadheading situation. But what do you mean by deadheading? In other words, they're not working, but they're being transported to a place within that airline system so that they can fly a particular schedule. Sometimes it's a scheduled operation.
Sometimes it's not so scheduled.
Because they got that particular crew got interrupted because of a mechanical situation or a weather situation, and they have to get to the other part of their trip and complete their trip that they were originally assigned to. So that's why they're there in uniform sitting in the back of the airplane. Can they perform a function? Yeah, they can help out the crew if there's some sort of abnormal or emergency event. But generally, they're just back there riding in the back riding of the bus. Back,
just like a passenger. Yeah, exactly.
Anything else? Any other type of deadheading you want to talk about?
You could be, it could be a deadheader or it could be a commuter. You know, a lot of pilots and flight attendants commute to their job. They don't necessarily live in their base. My airline has some bases in places that aren't real cheap to live in, quite frankly.
Do you know anything about that? About
commuting? I'm fairly familiar with the commute. Let's see, my flight leaves in 12 minutes, so I've got to go.
Yeah.
But yeah, we, you know, our airline has a very high percentage of commuters. In the 75 to 80% of our pilots, our crew, period,
right.
Pilots and flight attendants, commute to work. So you may be riding in the back as a commuter. You can be in uniform. You can be in business casual. If you know you're going to be in the back for sure, you can be in jeans, just nicely, just like this.
Right.
But if you, we also have the ability as a commuter to ride in the jump seat or on a cabin jump seat, flight attendant jump seat. That you must be in either business casual or uniform. And but we could also be going on a family vacation with our family, as I just said. But a lot of times you won't dress in your uniform, but you may dress in uniform because quite frankly, it's a little easier to get through TSA.
Yeah.
Because we can go through as a crew member instead of just John Q. Public, where we might be subjected to, you know, further inspection and or a longer line. So we take advantage of that sometimes. And you may see us at the gate in uniform, and 5 minutes later, you may see us in jeans and a nice shirt. And like, wasn't that guy just a pilot?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's kind of the commuter change.
I would say that, and I agree with you, that most times, if you're going on a, going to visit somebody, going on a vacation of sorts, you don't like to travel in uniform. You know, there's just sometimes that you just want to be incognito.
Incognito, exactly.
Know? And we do like to help people with questions and so on and so forth. But there are just times that, you know, we want to vacation and travel.
Just like the, we're John Q. Public, just like everybody else.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, the deadheaders, there's a lot of that going on, especially, you know, like I said, if there's some interruptions and I have had situations where I have had to ask someone in the back, to help me with a situation.
Yeah.
Well, if I know there's a pilot or a flight attendant in the back, and we'll kind of bring them to work a little bit, so to speak.
It is nice to know that, sometimes we'll get pilots that are deadheading or, you know, doing the commute thing, and they would poke their head into my cockpit. Absolutely. And say, hey, I'm such and such, flash an ID, I'm in the back of the airplane. In the back of my head, it's nice to know if I have an abnormal or an emergency situation.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? And it's just having, more resources at your, your availability.
And if there was ever an airplane evacuation,
they're going to jump into action.
And they're going to help out flight attendants and passengers. And
absolutely.
Yeah.
And then they're in case we both ate the fish as a crew meal.
Right. I saw that movie. Yeah. All righty. Anything else?
No, that's it. I got a commute to make.
Okay. Well, Captain Mike, we've landed another episode of Candid Cockpit. This is episode 12. Brakes to park. JetBridge is coming up to the airplane. We're going to start our checklist. Hope our listeners gain some insights into our pilot brain. Sometimes it is scary. gain some insight into the airline world. We appreciate everybody coming aboard.
Yeah, we do.
On this particular one. Next week, we're going to discuss what's involved with flying during winter weather, and we'll discuss it probably about the time that the spring is upon us, but I think it'll still be interesting regardless.
I have one very important, this is the most important part about that topic.
Sure.
Always remember to take a jacket.
Always remember to take a jacket, yes.
We live in Florida, and sometimes you forget. It's 85 degrees outside right now, and you're going to end up in Buffalo, New York, and you get to Buffalo going, oops, didn't bring a jacket because I left 85 degrees.
You've already given something away for our next episode, but I think there's a little bit of detail in there that's important, so we'll discuss that next trip.
Yeah. And again, while we begin the parking checklist, one more time, ask you to ask your friends to get on the PA, or you should get on the PA and ask your friends to spread the word about our podcast. Again, if you have a topic or a question, email us at podcast@candidcockpit.com. We'll address that topic, mention your name on air. Well, thank you for bringing that topic to our attention. Also watch us on YouTube, and then follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Until next time, thanks for joining us.
All right. And remember, don't get on an airplane unless you do watch Candid Cockpit. Thanks for coming.
Thanks.